Good to see you. God bless you. Welcome to everybody that's online this morning. We're glad to have you with us at Promised Land San Marcos. Welcome to our part of the world, wherever you're watching from. We're glad that you're with us. And we pray that God's going to be with you wherever you are. And he's going to be just as present and impactful in your life as he is right here in the building. Let's give all of our online folks a hand right now. Welcome them into our midst. Glad you're here. I want to say something. If you don't know this already, write this down, jot this down, but Easter is a big deal around Promised Land San Marcos, and that is 1 month away. It's March 27th this year, and every year Easter is a big thing here at Promised Land. We put a lot of effort and energy into it. And one of the main reasons why is because tons of guests will be with us that day. Brand new people that have never been to Promised Land. People that have come a few times and haven't been in a long time. They'll be back on March 27th. And so we want to be prepared for that and ready for that. And we've been looking into it, and we realize that we're not going to be able to fit everybody into three services this year. And that's a wonderful problem to have. This time last year, we had two services and we added a third for Easter. We were averaging about 700 people to 800 people on a weekend, 750, something like that, in the building. And when Easter came around, we had about 1,200 in the building. About 60 to 80% jump every year around Easter for that one Sunday. And so we're looking this year, we're averaging around 1,200, 1,000 to 1,200 on a Sunday. So there's just no way we're going to fit 2,000 people in here. We're looking at having close to 2,000 people here on Easter, and that would be an incredible goal for us to shoot for. But that's just not going to happen in three services. So we looked around different places, try to see if we could rent Strahan, Bobcat Stadium, Embassy Suites, whatever we could find. And it's too late on those things, so maybe next year. But what we're going to do this year is add a fourth service. So we're going to have 8 o'clock, 9:30, 11, and 12:30. So either wake up a little earlier or sleep in a little bit and come to the 12:30. We're asking everybody that's a regular folk person, regular folk person, that's everybody here at 9:45, pick... Go early or go late and leave this mid-spot here for all of our new folks that are coming in and serve somewhere. We're going to, in the next few weeks, we'll be giving you a chance to serve that day. Just a wonderful, wonderful time to invite people and bring them into the house of God for this thing we call Sunday morning worship. And that's really what I want to share with you today is I want to talk to you about why we do what we do for the love of God. For the love of God, we gather to worship. This is our final message in this series. This has been a great series, hasn't it? I've got a lot out of it myself. I don't know if you realize that or not, but I personally need these messages myself. And so it's just an honor to talk about it three times in a row. And I finally get it sometimes after the third time. But we talked about giving. We talked about marriage, sex, lust, and all that kind of stuff. We talked about, last week we talked about reconciliation and race. Today, I want to talk about why we gather the way we gather. This is something that's been happening actually since before the creation of the world. Before there was even human beings, the angels would gather to worship God. Then when humanity was created and the earth was created, the only two humans that were here, Adam and Eve, would gather together and commune with God in the garden. It was a beautiful thing. We read all throughout the Old Testament, people gathering in caves and in tents, in temples and tabernacles, by the side of a river, just in different places, in different parts of the community, in homes. They would gather on a weekly basis, sometimes a daily basis, to worship God together. People would talk amongst themselves, kind of like we do. Then they would talk to God. They would sing songs with profound intensity, with honesty and intimacy. They would exchange thoughts with God. People would talk to God, and then people would talk back to God would talk back to people. He would talk to them directly. He would talk to them through song. He would talk to them through poems or hymns. God would speak to people through other people. Through the written word, God would speak to people as they would gather. People would express themselves through song, dancing, poetry, art, humor, all these different ways. People would gather together on a weekly basis, and they would express themselves to God, not just meaningless repetition, but heartfelt, intimate feelings and thoughts that were good and bad. And when we read through the Psalms of David, we see a very brutal honesty of, I don't know how I can make it anymore. I've gathered with other people to express my honesty to you, God. I have come to say, oh my goodness, OMG, oh my God, please help me. Declare their faith in him. They would thank him for his blessing. They would ask him for assistance. And in return, God would boldly manifest himself to people. Manifest is a word that we don't really typically use a lot of times. Hello, honey, I'm manifesting myself in the kitchen at this time or whatever. But it's to be made known. So God is all places at all times, but the Bible says, who has seen him? You know, he's kind of untouchable in a way. He's kind of ambiguous in a way. He's in all places at all times. He knows all things and all this. But to be able to connect with him. So even though we know that he's in all places at all times, we know that he's in the room. Sometimes we don't know that he's there. We forget that he's there. We don't have that connection with him. Well, in the Old Testament, people would gather around the center of the community. At the beginning times, they would have a tent. They would all gather around the tabernacle called a tent called the tabernacle. They would gather there. They would express themselves to God, and he would make himself known, palatable to them, tangible to them, and his presence would be made personal to them, manifest to them in that tabernacle. And then as time went on, they built an actual building called the temple on a mount there in Jerusalem, above the city where people could go up to the temple. Jerusalem was up high in the whole country of Israel. People would come from Dan to Beersheba, from all different places of Israel, and they would migrate toward, and they would go up toward the town of Jerusalem. And then when they would get up to that town, they would go up the hill to the temple where they would gather to express themselves to God. And he would be made known to them there as they would worship him. And today I've come to simply tell you one thing, and that is that nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. We're gathering here today to do the exact same thing that Adam and Eve did when they were in the Garden of Eden. We're doing the exact same thing as we gather in this service, as you're watching online today, as you've come from all different places. I've heard people recently online, they're watching us from New Orleans, they're watching us from California, they're watching us from other countries, they're watching us from all over the state of Texas, all over San Marcos. Some of you have driven a long way to get to this building. We have people that drive, the Proaches drive all the way from LaGrange. We have Carol that drives from Smithville. We have people that drive down Hilliard Road, right? Hilliard folks. Hilliard folks are a little strange, but we love Hilliard folks out there. Wherever you've come from, we've all gathered here to express our feelings, our emotions, our present state of being, and to express to God, we are here in this place, one human being, in the midst of the 9:45 service, where there'll be another, as soon as you guys leave, there'll be another whole group that comes in and fills this sanctuary. We're going to have another one at 11:30, and we're going to worship God together. But this is just one building in one town. Across the planet today, millions and millions, hundreds of millions of people will gather to worship Jesus Christ today and declare their love for him, their question marks, their wins, their losses, their successes, their diagnosis, their successes, their wins, their raises, their bonuses, their new kids, their new marriages, their divorces. Heartfelt expression to a God and surrendering of our schedule too. So in a lot of ways today, I'm kind of preaching to the choir. You guys understand what I'm talking about. There's approaches right there. Y'all made it. We're expressing ourselves to God in our own ways. We are releasing to God what he has allowed in our life. We're giving it back to him, whether it's our time, our talent, our money, our schedule. We are setting aside a part of our week to say, before anything else happens this week, February the 28th week, and we approach March, before we do anything else this week, we're going to give this portion of our week to God. This is an act of worship that we reserve this part on our calendar. And I want to commend you for doing that this week. And I want to encourage you to continue to do so, to reserve this part of the week. The very first part, Sunday's the first day of the week, and it's all about celebrating the risen Jesus. Before Jesus, they would reserve that day of rest and honor to God on the final day, the Sabbath day, the final day of the week. But after Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, the believers in Jesus Christ said, from now on, we're going to start the week off by reserving it for Jesus. We're going to celebrate with other believers. We're going to gather together with other people. And our little segment, our little part is going to join the whole. It's going to join the bigness of what's going on across the world. So think about the people in San Marcos. Think about the people in this county that are worshiping Jesus, the state, this nation, this hemisphere, across the continents of Africa and Asia and Europe, Australia, all the islands that are worshiping. Millions and millions of people are worshiping God together. So this is really not about whether you need to go to church this week or not. Going to church is really not about, well, I think I need to go to church this week because I've really had some problems, so I need to go to church this week. Yeah, God's present. God can make a difference in your life. Yes, you can be filled. We're going to talk about that in a second. But the primary reason we go to church is because we are joining with humanity. We are gathering with the rest, all the continents and all the other the believers. And we are saying with one voice, God, we thank you for what you have meant to us. We thank you for what you have done for us. You have extended beyond eternity into our temporal world. I'm going to scoot back, kids, so I don't spit on you right now. God, you have extended beyond your eternal, immortal world, and you made yourself a man. You came down to this planet. You live like one of us. You died for our sins. You gave your life. You were abused and neglected and all of that. God, it is our honor and privilege to join with the rest of humanity and respond to you and say, we love you back. We honor you back. We want you to know that there's a lot of other people out there that are not honoring you and not loving you and have forgotten you and are lost in their own selfishness. But there are a group of people. There's a remnant of people here in the world. And we are representing Hayes County and wherever else you guys are living and saying that we love you back. We celebrate you, Jesus. We thank you, God. This is an amazing, both scenario. It's not a dichotomy. It's not this or that. It's both. It is, it's really not about me. I'm not that important, but I am important because I'm a part of the whole. This kind of goes back to what we talked about last week. When one of us is denigrated, we're all denigrated. But when one of us worships, we're all going to get a part of this one voice. Lord, we worship you. God, we worship you. Think about all the different languages and dialects and songs and keys and sermons and verses, and all of them are like a sweet-smelling savor that is rising up into the eternal heavenlies right now and just expressing to God, we love you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. It is our privilege and our honor to reserve this part of our week to come to a gathering and not just click into Promised Land San Marcos, but click into everything that's going on in the entire world right now. Amen? Come on, let's clap our hands a little bit. There's something about clapping hands. It's so amazing. You know what? I'll talk about that in a second. I learned something when I went to Israel myself, went ascended to Jerusalem myself, and I got a picture here I want to show you. I took this picture standing on the southern steps of the temple, or the city walls. You can see there, kind of the top right is the city wall. This is the outside of the old ancient city of Jerusalem. And you can't really see them very clearly, but there's steps at the bottom of that wall. When you see in Scripture Jesus preaching or teaching on the steps of the city, this is where he would have been on the southern